And you would think we would go to Genesis 1, but I'm not. I'm going to Proverbs. Proverbs 8. And 8:12 says, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. So that's just an introduction to the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, using wisdom as a person. We call this personification. So 8:22, fast forward here. So this is who's speaking. That's why I gave you that first verse. I, wisdom. So the Lord brought me, who is wisdom, forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity. Let me get this mic fixed. I think I'm the last one who wore this mic, but I'm not sure. Pretty sure. And it just doesn't feel right. It's not sitting in my ear right. All right. There we go. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Now, if you didn't know that this was wisdom speaking, you'd probably think, who is this? Jesus. But we have to understand, Jesus wasn't given birth as the pre-incarnate Son of God. He was given birth in real time in human history through the Virgin Mary. Wisdom says, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind. Isn't that interesting? What a wonderful, beautiful, poetic way to describe creation. And wisdom is saying, I was there. I was part of it. So Proverbs personifies wisdom. It gives wisdom human traits. For example, I was given birth. I was there. Now what idea can say I was there? But wisdom says I was there. This whole section also reminds us of another piece of wisdom literature in Scripture. So Proverbs is wisdom literature. Job is also wisdom literature, where God says to Job, Job is crying out, why? He's whining, and God sets him in place, in his own place. And he says, Job, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Was there any human with God when he laid the earth's foundation? Wisdom is saying, I was there, but Job can't say the same thing. Which tells us this, we can't say the same thing either. We are mere mortals created by God. We were not there when God created the earth and all that is in it. Wisdom was with God. Which also reminds us of John chapter 1, doesn't it? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit was the only one present at creation, for he is the creator. He is the uncreated one. There's no one like him. I wish I was there, but I wasn't. Now consider the minute building blocks of human life. Atoms, molecules. Doesn't this picture just bring you back to high school? I'll quickly turn it. Don't worry. Don't want to bring any anxiety upon you. Atoms, molecules, elements, DNA. How much wisdom is within these small physical materials? And the fact that humans can discover and reveal what is in the world demonstrates that we live in a world that was created with great wisdom. And then we can, on top of this, with all these materials, we can create with what is given to us. The fact that we can create shows that we are created with an even more wonderful wisdom. Scientists and doctors can explain how and why the heart beats, but still no one can explain why we love, other than that we were created for interpersonal connection and community. But why is that? Perhaps the one who created us is also one who is interpersonal and community. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Because of math and physics, we can make music. Do you know music is just math? That's why people who are good at math typically are good at music. Doesn't mean they can sing well, it just means they can probably play an instrument and learn it well. And we can create rockets and send people into orbit. Because of chemistry, we can bake and cook for our enjoyment, and we can also create medicines to enhance and prolong human life. Because of biology, we can develop a dander-free dog. Amen. Do you have one? We can discover what we need for humans and animals and for our environment to be well. And within all these realms of academia, there's wisdom. God's handiwork is on full display. It always baffles me why in the world, in the realms of academia, do we find so many people who are obstinate and hostile to a God who created them? And I think the reason is this: because we try to put ourselves in the place of God. God's handiwork is on full display. Wisdom is not created. Wisdom is God's gift to creation. Wisdom saying, I was born, I was there when it all happened. Solomon's not saying wisdom was created. He's saying wisdom is God's gift to creation. Yet we are created, aren't we? We actually were given birth. We are not personified, but God gave us each personhood as he himself has personhood. He gave us the ability to be wise as he himself is wise. He gave us the ability to teach wisdom to our children and to our grandchildren and to our neighbors. Where wisdom can be written as a virtue, characteristic, or an idea, a human being can possess wisdom from God and carry out God's plan in this world, because that is why we were created. We were created to be co-creators and co-laborers with God in this gorgeous earth. But we often overlook the basic theological mooring that is, God created me. Very simple. God created me. Psalm 8, we read it this morning. I want to read it to you again. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you've ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. Here it is. What is man, or humanity? What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You've made, I'm going to say me, and when I read this, you read it to yourself. You made me a little lower than the heavenly beings. You crowned me with glory and honor. You made me ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under my feet. All flocks and herds and beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim on the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. God created me. What does this mean? But first, what doesn't this mean? Is that a good question? God created me doesn't mean that I'm perfect. As if God created me, but not you. I'm special. Or it doesn't mean I should be perfect. Because God created me, you fall short this way, this way, this way. Get your act together, be perfect. No. God created me doesn't mean I'm an accident. Have you ever heard that language from people? This is our oops, baby. Well, this it wasn't really supposed to happen, but it happened. This is an accident. There are no accidents. God can bring good out of any situation. You're no accident. You are created with purpose and design. You are created for God. It doesn't mean that I'm destined for hell. It also doesn't mean I'm destined for heaven. Just because God created you doesn't mean you're destined for either place. I'll get into that in a second. What does this mean? It means God loves me. He created me and He loves me. Have you ever created something that you love? It's a wonderful thing. I created songs when I was in college. And I wrote these things. I was like, I don't know if they're good. And as soon as I started playing them and learning more about them, I enjoyed them more. And I shared them with my friends who played music. And I remember the first time I gathered a band together and we played my creation together. And I fell in love with it. And I have a feeling that's how God feels about the crown of His creation, humanity. He's totally in love with you. He thinks you're the best thing. He loves you. Unlike the animals, unlike the fish, unlike the stars, unlike the waters, He made me and you in His image and His likeness. And really that word talks about the purpose that He gave us, the authority, the rulership that He gave us. We were made in His image and likeness to be rulers over the earth. Even if I was born with a disability, God is still good. Now, there are so many factors in the development of children, from conception to birth to adulthood. Nature and nurture are part of our formation as human beings. There's things we can control, there's things we can't control. And the reality is, in all of this, whether you have a severe disability, a minor disability, or no disabilities, the reality is God's grace is sufficient for you. I have a friend who talks about, well, why did God make me this way? How come everyone does this and I can only do this? I just say to him, God's grace is sufficient for you. You bear His image and likeness. In the scriptures, does not God have a special concern for those with disabilities? Does Jesus not give special attention to the blind, the leper, the outcast? His grace is sufficient for all. It means my body is good. Do you have a hard time saying that? My body is good. Sometimes our culture says the body is, you know, this is just a shell. This is just going to die. My soul is going to go on to live forever. My body's just nothing. It's my soul that matters. That's not the truth. The truth is God created you. And part of who you are is your body. Your body is good. The physical world is good. And scripture shows us that God is going to renew and heal the physical world. He's bringing heaven and earth together.
The body is good. Care for your body. My body is worth caring for, and every body is worth caring for. We live in a society right now where self-protection takes great priority, and sometimes greater priority than self-giving and serving one another in love. We look at each other and we see that we bear the image of God together. You and I are image bearers of the one who made us. Which means killing people isn't just wrong because it's bad for society. It's wrong because it is an attack on God himself, the creator. God breathes his breath of life in us. How dare we take that away from one another? Adultery and lust isn't just wrong because it breaks trust and ruins relationships. It's wrong because it's an attack on God. We are not objects of pleasure. We are God's beloved, set apart for his purposes in the world. God created me brings us to this reality, this identity, that everything we do, everything that we are, is based on who God is. And if we separate life from that, then we have all these other things that speak into why we should do this or why we shouldn't do this. Mostly for social reasons. But the reality is, this is a personal reason. It's who God is. It's who he's created us to be. We live in a society that screams, you are gods and goddesses. And teaches our children the same. You are creators of your own world, masters of your own domain. Which is really a nice fluffy message for the world. But the scriptures gently tell us and boldly tell us, you are not God. You are not a God. You are created beings. You bear the image of the Lord, and he has commissioned you as co-creators, co-laborers in the earth in order to bless the earth as he blesses, and to bless the Lord as he has blessed us. But the reality is this image is distorted. This image is distorted, and with that we gave our allegiance to a lesser king. And we chose to instead be an image bearer of God, to be gods ourselves, and to make images of deities that give us power. And if you think we don't make any graven images today, don't fool yourself. We have graven images, we have idols aplenty in our society. So we needed a savior. Wisdom, who is with God in the beginning, wasn't just personified in writing, as Solomon did. But he was revealed in nature. He revealed his personhood to us in the flesh. The pre-incarnate Son of God was born to a virgin and became the incarnation of God that we needed. Instead of asking to be worshipped, Jesus presented himself as a holy sacrifice on a cross, mocked, spit on, and put to death. And he did this in order to forgive us for our attempts to be God, so that we could be restored into right relationship with God and once again bear the image of the God who made us to be holy. And in doing so, when he rose from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father, he gave us his Holy Spirit in order to join heaven to earth until he fully joins heaven to earth forever. You are a sneak preview of the coming kingdom where heaven meets earth within you. The Holy Spirit dwelling in your physical, mortal body. You are with God right now. Wisdom is within you right now. Christ is in you today. And all this is just an intimate truth. You've probably seen this. This is my computer screen. Liam, Micah, Colette, Caroline. All when they're freshly out of the oven. Pink skin still. There were no words from them. Everything I'm sharing with you this morning is an intimate truth. It's a tender love, just like you do when you hold a child. There's no words. No words to express the immense love. And when I held them, I wasn't saying, look what I created, as some people, you know how some people do. Look what I created. Look what I made. No. God made this. This beautiful child. I'm just a co-laborer, a co-creator. He's the master. In the book, in the Song of Solomon, there's a line that says, my beloved is mine and I am his. And the actual Hebrew is, my beloved, mine, I his. Infantile words. I love you. My beloved is mine and I am his. And in these words is the greatest wisdom of all. To know God and to love him. That's what I want for my kids. And I know that's probably what you want for your kids and grandkids. Who is the Lord? If you were to ask them, who's the Lord? The Lord is my beloved and I am his. That'll transform the way they view the world. That'll transform the way they view themselves. That'll transform the way they view other people. I am my beloved and mine his. Because you cannot say those words and say that you are not God's beloved and you are his. My great-grandmother would start her prayers in the morning. Thou art God, and I'm not. And really, that's the prayer we should pray daily together, shouldn't it? We are created beings. God, you are God. We are not. You are uncreated. I am created by you. You are Lord. I am your servant. You are King. I bow before you. You are Father. I am your child. You love me and gave your life for me. So Lord, I give my life to you. Cleanse me, fill me, and send me where you will. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to enter into our time of communion. Kids are going to join us.